Hello, this is Tyler Davidson. I'm Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. And joined here for our podcast by Bob Baez, CEO of Eventmobi. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
And so you guys just made a major acquisition. You acquired Run the World, which is, you know, basically a virtual events company that I think you noted as really kind of made a big splash in a short amount of time. Why don't you describe to our audience of meeting and event planners the significance of this acquisition and how it might impact what they do?
Sure. So we have been around for a very long time. Our roots were in in-person events as an event app company back in the days, and then building an event management system. And when pandemic came around, obviously as our clients that had to pivot their events, we had to pivot our platform. And we think we built a pretty good virtual platform, and we helped thousands of our customers pivot there in 2020 and 21. But there were a few companies that didn't have sort of the history of event tech sort of solutions that were on the market, and they could move much faster. So one of those solutions was Run the World. They started about a year before the pandemic, similar to Hopin, I think very similar time frame. And they did a phenomenal job. It was a really engaging platform. And they were very successful in the middle of the pandemic. Attracted quite a few different organizations from agencies, corporate events that were running user conferences and consumer type sort of events, as well as sort of supporting association nonprofit conferences. So we knew about them. We followed their game, and I think they had the same challenge as a lot of other virtual event platform that actually the last 2 weeks has been kind of crazy with BlueJeans shutting down. That was acquired by Verizon. Hopin story was quite astonishing. It got everyone by surprise. Lots of other virtual platforms have been struggling, and not necessarily because, you know, the business is bad and virtual or hybrid is gone away. It's just that the expectations that their investors put on them was very unrealistic during the pandemic. And we all know what happened post-pandemic. We're all back to in-person events. Yeah. And you know, the type of virtual conference that we used to run is not the same anymore. I mean, you don't really see 3 day, you know, 5,000 person conference with, you know, they're totally different experiences these days. So so we saw this opportunity. They kind of approached us, and we saw this as a good fit to be able to help them, help their customers onboard to Eventmobi, as they didn't really have any in-person capability. And it was a pretty good synergy in that case. And yeah, we're here now, and they're in the transition process at the moment.
Yeah, and I mean, I was going to ask, where did the virtual meetings go? I mean, and I think it's mainly just so much attention has been put into the return of in-person meetings, and virtual meetings were the only thing pretty much going for a year and a half or a couple of years. All these companies kind of seemingly came out of nowhere. And now we're back to in-person meetings. There's just not the same buzz as, you know, it used to be for virtual and hybrid. But, you know, I'm one that thinks they will be around. And is this sort of like a recasting of what virtual events will be moving forward? Maybe an augmentation of what they deliver? You know, why don't you tell people what is sort of the state of virtual meetings? And why should meeting planners really be focused on offering that to their clients?
So I think I think event planners should focus on what works best for their events. Not every event is a fit for a virtual event, as we know. It's actually interesting to talk about this because before the pandemic, virtual events existed. We had webinars, and there were virtual platform companies. There were some challenges, you know, 5 years ago, even, I would say, computers were not fast enough to run, you know, more sophisticated virtual platforms. Internet was not as ubiquitous, and high speed was not really there to be able to accommodate. So the pandemic happened at a time that we were able to take advantage of the technology advancements for virtual, and it just took off. It was amazing the way it took off because all our grandparents learned how to use video conferencing, and a lot of people that would never be on a virtual platform, they started using them and also attending events. The reality back then was there was no other choice. You can't go out here in front of your screen, and you had to do so. A lot of people tried to pivot, traditional conferences into virtual format, and it was really difficult. I mean, sponsorship hardly worked for a lot of these types of conferences. Education had to be readjusted to shorter sort of time frame. Speakers had to change the way they present. It was all new, and it was challenging for us, for event planners, for our customers, for attendees, right? Just, at some point, something had to give. So when the choice was, now we can go back and meet in person, everybody wanted to go out. It just didn't make sense to stay at home because it wasn't really good for us. It wasn't, and people wanted a different type of experience. But the reality is there are some types of events that are perfect for virtual events. And there are some events that have an audience that is only can be served, the extended audience with the virtual events. It has its own advantages, but there were challenges during post-pandemic. One, attendees didn't want to go back on screen. The other side of it was a lot of teams were stretched too thin. Running an in-person event, as we all know, it's like takes its toll on you. It's really, really challenging. Teams were slashed during the pandemic, and now having the expectation that they have to run, a simultaneous hybrid event, I think it was unrealistic to a lot of our customers. So they kind of said, "Hey, we need to go back, support our attendees. They want to go back in person, and that's the way it's going to be." What we are seeing now in terms of the trend for virtual is that a lot of organizations are hearing from their attendees that, "Hey, can I access the content, post-event?" Or there were a bunch of attendees that couldn't make it. And then now we're hearing that, especially in the nonprofit side, if they have a choice, they might have attended last year, and then this year they might want to attend, virtually for the program. There's a lot of these types of organizations that their attendees don't have to attend an in-person events for certifications and so on. So it's a choice. So there is an opportunity, I think, to serve a bigger audience for virtual events, but it has to be a different format. And the format change that you're saying, I think that's a really interesting shift, is I call it micro virtual experiences. We don't really see multi-day, hundreds of session virtual events, whereas the audience is tighter. They're done more frequent throughout the year, and they're essentially done to engage the existing community or the audience or the members that came together at the in-person events and continue that conversation and keep them engaged. And I think that's going to pay dividends for those organizations to help with the retention for the following year attendance of their events. And I think the virtual event is a beautiful engine for creating interest for new prospects, for new members, for potential new leads if you're running a marketing program. And they work really, really well. It might be hard to generate revenue with virtual events. It's really difficult to create really good sponsorship programs with virtual events. Not impossible, but difficult, more difficult. But I think it's a great way to build community and create these micro experiences throughout the year. And we're seeing about 15 to 20% of our customers right now adopting this new sort of shift to what we call year-round engagement with events, as opposed to this annual once a year type sort of experience.
Yeah, so maybe the way to think about it is it's not necessarily a mirror event of your annual with an equally sizable event team running it, which I think probably turned off a lot of people or intimidated a lot of people. But it's more of something you do all year round, which can help promote and feed into your in-person event too. So do you think this is all sort of shaking out, and we're sort of understanding where this will fit in? And of course, it's different for every organization.
Yeah, I think a lot of A lot of organizations are trying to figure out, you know, what works best for them. And this is just another tool in their arsenal to be able to, you know, engage their members. And if you kind of go back, you know, we run events to acquire new customers or members, to keep them engaged throughout the year, and to bring them back next year. If it's a customer program, user conference, you want those customers to stay customers. If it's an association, you want them to stay members. So events kind of play a really critical role for a lot of organizations to achieve all these three elements of a business objective. So a lot of leaders, I think during the pandemic, really understood the value of this, but they needed to see ROI in terms of attendance. And the attendance for virtual events kind of dropped dramatically. So that's why we're kind of seeing in-person events playing the A role, sort of a key role to create that engagement, bring that community together. And then virtual events allows us to continue that conversation. It's much lower cost these days, and it's a lot easier to do. The technology kind of became a lot more advanced than it was, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic. And I think a lot of event planners, as much as none of us really wanted to, but we had to learn. And some of our customers are incredibly skillful at the way they create these online experiences. We kind of call it mixed format or blended experience. So a lot of people don't want to use the hybrid sort of word because it's confusing and it means like, for a lot of people, it means like simultaneous.
It's like a one-to-one relationship. Yeah. And I see what you mean. Yeah.
And it's really hard to create simultaneous hybrid event and streaming all the content. Just they're two different audiences and they need to be treated as such.
And so, you know, how does Run the World, what do they bring to you to really make this appealing to your existing and future clients?
Yeah, the main sort of appeal for Run the World was really their brand and the synergy with their customer base. And the way we saw that, where a lot of their customers were struggling to be able to run their programs just with a virtual program, and their tool was not able to support them. So for us, it meant that they don't have to go somewhere else. They can stay with Event Mobi. At the same time, I think it was an exciting opportunity for us as one of the oldest players in the event technology sector. And we are also not VC funded. I started the company with my brother 14 years ago. So we grow with our customers. The only sort of success that really matters for us is our customer success. So for us being able to say, hey, it's not a bad buzz, and we're here to support events as the landscape changes. And it was really important to put our name out there and be able to support the community in the right way that made sense for us.
And because of that history, you bring with you a really wide knowledge base of what a meeting and event planners experience and desire, both in their in-person and now virtual components.
Yeah, events, as we both know, we're in a very unique sort of niche world of marketing and communication. And it's hard to put event technology the same as like other, you know, software as a service, software companies. An event business is a very different business. And event planning, it's a beast of project management. It's very different than a lot of other sort of professions because of the way event planners do different things throughout the year as throughout the life cycle of events. So, for us, it was important to kind of bring this message to market to say, the future of events from an event planner point of view is in simplicity. We got to make their job easier. You got to make it easier for them to see return on investment for their program. And a lot of that depends on the attendee experience and engagement that they have. So our focus became, how can we create this sort of product that can support event planners throughout their life cycle, from the planning side to you know, registration and website, and then when the on-site day happens, and then you need to re-engage that audience, and at the same time help them make this into a team sport. I think a lot of times we forget running an event. The event planner is the hero. They're the one that kind of bring and connect everybody, but they're supported by a team around them. And a lot of times that team doesn't really have access to the same tool as the rest of the other software programs that might be out there. So we kind of use this as an opportunity with this transaction to say, hey, we want to support this life cycle. We want to make this into a team sport so that you can collaborate with your coworkers when using EventMobi. And hopefully you can run all your events on EventMobi platform, because that's the best experience for attendees. Otherwise, we create this fragmented experience with, you know, running one event on this platform, one event on the other platform, or sending a bunch of different links to different sort of solutions, and you know, lose the opportunity to create continuity with event experiences. Sorry, that was a really sort of long-winded answer, but we're pretty excited for sort of this shift that's happening in the industry.
It all makes sense, and especially the simplicity part of it. I think that's what everyone kind of craves, and they're probably intimidated by the, well, they always have been, by the complexity that they assume that virtual meetings, and especially hybrid meetings, bring into the equation. Well, before we end, what other big trends are you seeing in events? ChatGPT, right? I mean, everything's about, you know, a generative AI, right? And what are your colleagues in your the tech segment saying these days?
AI is interesting. I think that obviously it wasn't new. It became really front and center because of ChatGPT being able to do a few different generative sort of command-based actions really well that everybody could understand. You know, you give it like a two-page, you know, meeting note, and it like summarizes it down to a few sentences for you. That's, you know, everyone realizes the power of, you know, time and how it can save you time. In the world of, I think, events, we have yet to see this really make an impact. I think everyone is experimenting. There are a few parts of it in terms of content creation that could be useful, but still, if anyone is in the event business, they know you really need to control the message. Every little things matter. So you can't really have AI just do everything for you. It just doesn't work that way. But summarizing session content, I think that's a really, really easy sort of use of AI. But it's also interesting. I think that the reason AI within the event community is being talked about quite a bit is the fact that the event planners have to do so many things, and some of the work is very repetitive can actually be optimized with a computer algorithm or AI. And I love that thinking, because it creates an environment that event planners can focus on more creative aspect of the job, relationship building, the project management portion of it to kind of bring this experience live without really having to worry about the little things that they can sort of teach an intern to do. So some of that work can be really powerful. The other side of it that I think that we see in terms of the trend is this sort of understanding of mixed format, and the fact that hybrid does not have to be this beast of, hey, I need to run an event at the same time I need to run a virtual event, and being able to think about these as two different audiences and create a different experience for your remote audience is now freeing up a lot of creativity in terms of event experience, online event experience solutions to engage the audience that's remote or online, totally different than the in-person experience. I think that was the biggest shift that we saw from like 2021 to 2023. And we think that's the right way to kind of approach event design.
Well, great. Well, thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thanks, Tyler, for having me. Great to chat with you.
Hey, where can people learn more about EventMobi?
www.eventmobi.com.
Thanks a bunch. And that was Bob Baez, the CEO of MOB, who just acquired Run the World and is off to reshape the world of virtual events and in-person events. Thank you for joining us. And thank you out there for joining us for this Meetings Today podcast. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. And if you're interested in any of our other podcasts, head on over to meetingstoday.com. And check out our podcast section where we have a variety of podcasts with industry thought leaders. So thanks for joining us. And no matter what you're up to with the rest of the day, go out and make it great.